It's good to see everybody again this morning, and welcome to all our guests, visitors. We really thank you that you could join us this morning. Okay. That was very good. Isn't it good to sort of like see that God is working in people's lives? You know, Dina, I remember when Pastor Charlie was, he was just standing there and he just said, somebody with a stomach ailment. And probably everybody was like, oh, no, I ain't got no stomach ailment. And so you begin the conversations in your own mind. Should I go? Shouldn't I go? Should I go? Shouldn't I go? And I'm glad he insisted on going. And what I like what he did was that he then said to her afterwards that please make sure that you go back to the doctors and they check you out. And she did. And so, of course, it's an amazing testimony. And we know that her family is now living in Newman. And I think they're settling in there quite okay. I wouldn't say it's a great settling in, but it's it's okay. Where's Jean? Jean is gone? No, Jean? Oh, she's gone out. Okay. Just let me know when she comes back in. Where's Damien? He's gone out as well? Oh, okay. We need to talk to him about that. Okay. I'm sensing something. You know, I'm really sensing something, and I don't want to sort of like just move on. But anyway, up until they come in, we can move on, because we're not weird people. We just, when they come in, we'll do what we need to do. And so last week, we started this series called Fresh. And the premise really is about how do we maintain a freshness in our spirit where there's an effervescence in our life. It's just like a Schweppes bottle. When you open up, you hear that shh. How do we get that Schweppes kind of feeling in our lives? I know one guy from our church in Kwinana, Robert Cleaver, who has and is going through a very difficult time in his life. But there is just a freshness about Robert. That even though he's going through the complications, health complications, and everything seems to be going against him, there is just something fresh about him. There's an effervescency. There is a love and a trust for God and for wanting to see other people, wanting to see God touch other people. And that's a nice thing to have, you know, just that freshness in your spirit. And last week we know that Pastor Nami spoke about the beggar at the gate beautiful who was expecting alms from the disciples. I had to say the disciples because when I was doing the little teaser online, I forgot their names. So it was Peter and somebody. And so he was expecting alms. He was expecting money. But he got more than what he expected. And just that message that God has got a fresh word for us, which is not just the things that we're asking for, but more than what we're asking. And so we'll go back to we'll just stop this programming. Jean and Damien, how are you guys? Our team is going to speak to you afterwards about this sudden exit that you guys do all the time. Yes. I'm sensing something within my spirit. That God has something good for you guys. I'm sensing that perhaps where they thought that there were difficulties or impossibilities, just like there was with Sarah. She was an old woman, and she thought, oh, this can't happen to me. And God said, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? And I just want you to know today that this is the word that I feel the Lord is saying to you, coming from that scripture that there is nothing too difficult for the Lord. And I just want you to hold on to that, and God is going to see you guys through. Amen? Back to schedule programming. So, my son, he's not here today. He's not 12 years old. He finished year 12 on Friday. And so they've got their graduation ceremony this afternoon. And so this is, I guess, you know, where I'm from. Okay, what's the graduation for? Have you passed? You know, so I would normally ask, what are we graduating from? And so, but I guess here in Australia, they like to celebrate these little milestones. Let me not say little, because it's a big deal. I'm not a good celebrator, because I'm always, whenever I've got a goal, whenever I reach it, I'm on to the next. But it's quite important that in life, you not be like me, that you celebrate. You take the time to celebrate. And this afternoon, we're going to go for the graduation at, I think it's at 4 o'clock. It goes for 3 hours. You know, 3 hours. You know, that's a long time. And so this poor guy, he's 17 now. He's had his fair share of lectures on making something of his life. He couldn't choose me as a father, of course, but that's what he got. And he got his fair share of lectures. In fact, all my kids have had their fair share of lectures. And so I make sure I start early. Google her too as well. She's starting to get her fair share of lectures. No, she's not. I wouldn't do that to little Google. And so growing up, I preferred being smacked than being given a lecture. You know, who remembers growing up the lectures that he would get? And so the conversations about always who is going to be successful. In our family, we have that discussion amongst our kids. We say so, and they start asking the questions, who among you is going to be successful? And they start saying, oh, I think it's going to be this one, I think it's going to be that one. Now, the reality is that whether it's book smarts or street smarts, what will determine success? Is it any of those two? I think that for those that do well, now that we're older, we've come to recognize that the ones that are successful are the ones that deal with adversity the best. Because adversity is going to come to all of us. And so success in life is not guaranteed for any of us. However, there are things that we can do to ensure that we fulfill the purpose for our lives. And one thing I really want to say right from the jump is don't compare your life to somebody else's life. The goal is for you to fulfill your assignment, not anybody else's. So that means that it is incumbent on you to find out, what is my assignment? What have I been placed on this earth to do? So that you can fulfill that assignment. Because once you do that, then I think you're successful. And it's not about comparing, oh, well, this one has got 10 vehicles, or this one has got so many other things. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. It is about the assignment that I have for my life. Have I fulfilled that? Because that's what the expectation that the Lord has for you is, just the fulfillment of your assignment. That is why the Lord did not hesitate to go to the cross, because he knew that was part of his assignment. And he was successful because he did that. And that is the goal for each and every one of us. And so we know that a lot of money, people, they want to find the elixir of life, the fountain of youth. We all want to look younger and feel better. And all those things are absolutely good. There is an industry which is worth billions and billions of dollars, where people are trying to find out, how can I be successful in my life? Now we're going to turn to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. We're going to read this beginning psalm. And it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Just that scripture gives us an understanding that there is a path that is faced, that we all have to face in our lives. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you may feel. Every one of us always has got a path that we have to choose. But the good thing, and what I like about this passage, it starts off saying, blessed is the man. And the Hebrew word esher here, which is translated blessed, is has the idea of happiness or contentment. And so blessed is the man speaks of the happiness, the blessedness, the contentment in the life of the man or woman who is right or straight with God. Just the contentment, because you're straight with the Lord. And I think that's where, and what I like about it, it doesn't say the blessed king or the blessed scholar or blessed is the rich, but it says blessed is the man, which means this is something, this blessedness is attainable by each and every one of us, whether you're poor, you're forgotten, you feel like you're part of the obscure, and maybe your names don't figure out in history, but it's really that every one of us can attain this blessedness. What we do as we walk in life, and even as when I left high school, Mr. Stacy said in our first, in 1990, in our English class, he said, he was an Englishman, and he said, who of you wants to have a noisy or a quiet funeral? I thought, oh, what a weirdo. What kind of question is that? But as we began to sort of like think through it and mull over it, and especially as the years have passed since that, what he was saying is that who wants to have now the noisy funeral? It depicts perhaps somebody who's made a difference in people's lives, whereas the quiet one is where you have just slipped out of this world where nobody knew you. That's not what God wants for each and every one of us. Now, we may not have that noisy type funeral, but what we are saying here is that there is a mark that we are making. It could be the mark that we're making in our families' lives or in the mark of our children's lives. So each and every one of us is faced with a path. So success is not guaranteed for you and I unless we choose the right way. This psalm presents two ways of life, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. And the key subject is the centrality of God's word to the life and fruitfulness of the righteous who truly love his word. So A, the importance and absolute necessity of the scripture. And secondly, the changed character, stability, and fruitfulness it promises to those who make scripture the core of their lives. My father was a good lecturer giver. He would give lectures, you're in the car, somehow he would find a way to spin it into a lecture. You talk about football, bang, spun into a lecture. My grandmother, his mother, she was really good at giving lectures. And so she would give it to all us grandchildren, and she would go on and on and on. And, you know, you probably do the eye rolling, oh, yeah, goodness, here she goes again. And you also start thinking, what do they know about life? But the reality, and probably that's what my kids do as well, you know, each time they get the good old lecture. But when you look at the words that they said, in the moment, they did not mean anything. But as the passage of time has gone, all of a sudden we start to see the wisdom in the words that they spoke. Now, it's worse if when they would advise you to stay on the straight and narrow and you had a few diversions, those words become very painful. They become a bitter pill to swallow. Sometimes that's the way it is like with the Word of God, is that initially when you take it on, it is a bit offensive. But after a while, it begins to taste sweet and like honey to you. But that's what this psalm is talking about, is that if we are going to look to have any success in our lives and even to keep a freshness in our lives, it's the importance and the absolute necessity of the scriptures. And secondly, the changed character, the stability and the fruitfulness it promises to those who make scripture the core of their lives. Advertisements are like a word. And sometimes when an ad says, you know, better watch what you eat and all the kind of stuff, whether it's Heart Health Month, and we keep binging and we're carrying on. Eventually, when we're down in the hospital and things are going pear-shaped, those ads, unfortunately, they tend to play in our minds. Ooh, that's the thing with memory. It just brings it up. And it was like, man, I should have listened to those words. There is something about the Word of God that if we can heed it, it is going to bring such contentment in our lives. But the reality is that we all struggle and we wrestle with the Word of God for our lives. I know I've done a few wrestling sessions of myself with the scriptures where perhaps I thought, I might deviate for a while and I'll come back. I don't know about you, whether you've ever felt just a bit of rebellion coming in. And you think, oh, well, stuff you, Lord, I'm just doing my own thing for a while. But and so, this psalm captures a fundamental teaching found in both the Old and New Testaments, and that God teaches his people that one's choice will determine both the direction and the outcome of your life. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and thy seed may live. This comes from Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. And so what will happen is that opportunities are going to be presented to both you and I. And we're going to have to make a choice. When you've got one pair of shoes, and you've got one shirt, and one set of pants, is there much choice you have to make? Nah, not really. Boom, you're doing it. That's all you're wearing because that's all you got. But now when you've got maybe 5 or 6 pairs and 7 pairs, now your headache every morning is that, you know, how am I going to match everything so that I can coordinate? Because it's very important that if you're going to be dressing, that you are coordinated. Is that not true? Yes. Ladies, can you help me out here? Yes. Coordination. Thank you very much. Coordination. Now, I had one of my pastors, I'm going to put him on the spot, Pastor David. He used to wear, Pastor David, God bless him. He used to wear like a black belt, and he tucked his shirt in, so he's wearing a black belt, and he then wears brown shoes. And throughout the whole service, the only thing I could think about is, oh my goodness, how did he get out of the house? And I'd be sitting this is in Port Hedland. We don't do that here, but in Port Hedland you can. Where I'll be texting another guy in the service, say, fashion police, can you see what? So I love you, Pastor David. So when you have choice presents you with problems because now you're going to have to decide. And this is what the psalm is telling us, that we have to decide about the way that we're going to go. And it's going to be like we get to that intersection there. Am I going to turn left or am I going to go right? Am I going to do it God's way or am I going to do it my way? Sometimes God's way is the hard way. And the other way is easier in the beginning, but it comes with its requisite problems at the end. So we now have to decide, wherever it comes to, whether, you know, these decisions will come to our lives, whether it's the relationship partners that we're choosing, where we're thinking that, there's a beautiful girl I know, absolutely, or a guy, a beautiful man. Do I go with this guy or this girl? But they don't come to church and they don't know the Lord. And the easy way to go is, but I know that, you see, if I come with them, maybe the Lord will save them. The problem on most occasions is that it will cause a huge deviation in the course that you're going. We are faced with that when it comes to work. Do I lie on the accounts or not lie on the accounts? The easier thing that happens is that I might get the benefits early, but down the track, you might get the knock on the door. One thing I know is that the police, they've got a knock of authority when they knock on your door. Now, if you've done some bad stuff and they knock on your door, all of a sudden you get really nervous and jumpy. But if they knock on your door, you're like, oh, what can I help you with? Why are you knocking on my door like that, officer? You know, what can I help you with? So opportunities will always be presented to us where we can either choose to take the long road that is painful or we take the short road that is pleasurable. In the New Testament, Jesus' message to the crowds is to choose the right way in life. And he says this in Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14, enter through the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there will go in, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Opportunities will be presented to us. I remember even just when I left university, I really struggled to get work. I struggled really, really hard to get work. And I remember one of my friends says, "Oh, don't worry, just pad the CV." Now, I could have written in there, you know, I was in Zimbabwe, I worked for the Ministry of Finance. They're never going to check it out. They'll never, you know, would they really call? Excuse me, would they call all the way to Zimbabwe to say, "Can we please tell us if Stephen Magwenzi worked in the Ministry of Finance?" No. And I remember my response to him was that, "It don't matter if it," these were my exact words, "it doesn't matter if it takes me a long time to get it, but I'm going to do it the right way." And that was painful, you know, because it was the easier way. I just felt, no, if I'm going to get a job, I want to get it, and then I can say that God provided the job, not that I did it my own way. So opportunities, even to our young people, are going to be presented to you. The question is, I guess, you're going to have to make a choice. We all are going to have to make a choice. So if we're going to be successful, success is not guaranteed unless you watch where you walk, where you stand, and where you sit. Because it's saying in this scripture that there is a way that a blessed man, there's a certain way he will not walk, a path he will not stand in, and a seat that he will not sit in. This talks of our interpersonal relationships, because your friends make all the difference in your life. If you have got good friends, guaranteed that at least 50% of your life is going to be on the good. Because what those guys will do is that they will begin to influence you in the right way of doing life. And that influence is going, and they spur you on. You know, they spur you on in the things of the Lord. They spur you on in doing the right thing. Now, of course, if you've got bad friends, what's going to happen is that they're going to lead you down the wrong way. That's the thing I say to my nieces, and they all know me as Uncle Lecture. But I say to them, we're having a conversation. This is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. I was in South Africa in May, and so I call my nieces one by one. Let's go in. I think it was Starbucks, or we're in some coffee place, and I called them one by one. I'm like, so how are you going? How is school? How is this? How is that? And when the other younger sister went back to the group, and they said, oh, what were you guys talking about? She said, I got a lecture. She did. We actually had a dialogue. Because I was actually asking her questions. But I say that your friends are who you allow to be your friend is the most important decision that you will make. And for those of us that are, of course, we're older, it's the things that you listen to determine the outcome of your life. The things that you allow to go into your mind will absolutely determine how things work out for you. And so we can say this thing about not walking, not standing, and not sitting can speak of thinking, behaving, and belonging. The righteous man and the ungodly man are different in how they think, how they behave, and to whom they belong. One of the things you have to understand, and I'll just get the team to come back up, is that walking, he says walk, stand, and sit. Because my time is up, I'm cutting this short and it's all good. It tells you about the progression of sin. You start off, you are in Hay Street or in Murray Street, and there is a group, there's a guy doing acrobats, and all of a sudden, you know, you're walking, and then you're sitting, and then you're standing. All of a sudden, people begin to say stuff. You're watching. You remember, you're watching? And I want you to picture, this is how it happens in our lives, is that the people, all of a sudden, we're standing around. The people we're allowing to influence us, the things we're listening to, it begins to progress. That, oh, okay, oh, that's an interesting thought. We're standing around those friends. And then later on, we're sitting and chilling with those people. And they are going to begin to lead us down the wrong path. So there is a general progression to the way that sin goes in our lives. And unfortunately, we're probably up to my second point. But I think that we get the point. That if we're going to be successful, that success is not guaranteed unless the scriptures and the word of God become central to our lives. And we allow, there is just, if only, I can only look back at my life now. You know, what would I say to my son and say, man, you try and counsel and give wisdom and insight based on the errors and the mistakes that you've made. But sometimes I was as foolish as possibly he may be. I'm not saying he's foolish, but I was foolish, because I can say that, where I made errors. And it's from those errors that you're thinking, oh man, you don't want to go down that road. And this is to all of us, that if this word of God would mean something to us, and we would take it in for all that it's worth, then the success that we want in our life is going to be guaranteed. Because that's what he promises. He said to Joshua, meditate on this book and do not depart from it. And then he says, then your way will be successful. And so there'll become another time where we'll finish up the scripture. But can we stand this morning? Father, we thank you this morning about the centrality of your word. That we would take more. We fill our minds with your word. Fill our minds with your word day and night, day and night. Then our way will be prosperous. Then we'll be successful. Father, I thank you for your church this morning. Lord God, that it is a church that is made up of the people of, it's like the people of Berean, of the Bereans. Lord, they heard what the disciples said and they searched out the scriptures for themselves. And so, Father, I pray that as we leave this place, Lord God, we would leave renewed, refreshed. That, Lord, no matter what has happened before we heard this message, the good thing is that it says, blessed is the man, and that this is something that is attainable for each and every one of us. And so, Father, we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord.